Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Cutting Edge Benefits by ClaimLinks. I'm Chris Roach, and I have Tom Quigley with me. Say hello, Tom.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm not bad. How about yourself?
Not bad. Still got snow in Boston?
No, it's actually all dried up. Today's a pretty beautiful day, although did you see the latest April Fool's joke for Boston? Boston.com put out a that we're going to have a surprise rare nor'easter that was going to dump 2 feet of snow on us. They put that out this morning.
Nice.
Yeah, good April Fool's joke. I literally woke up. Whitney told me about it, and my fiance. She said, hey, we're going to get another 2 feet of snow. I woke up. I was like, again? And, of course, you know, April Fool's joke. So.
Good. I got you. So, what's on your mind today?
Well, we're here again talking about what consumers need to know about buying traditional group health insurance, or rather, about traditional group health insurance, so they can make an informed decision when actually buying care for their employees. So we're on that again. By the way, feel free to call in anytime with questions. Just dial in 929-477-2497. Again, that's 929-477-2497. And we're also live tweeting this episode with the hashtag CLVoice. So feel free to post any comments or questions on Twitter, and we'll get to those as well. Now, before we jump into actually today's topic, Tom, I wanted to go over actually what ClaimLinks is and why you have so much knowledge on healthcare. So can you tell us a little bit about ClaimLinks and what it does?
Well, ClaimLinks is a company that was formed to help consumers combat the higher cost of health insurance and the lack of benefits. So what we're doing here is we're showing people how to use old tax laws, new tax laws, and everything between to allow people to use the same doctors, hospitals they're accustomed to, with the same insurance carriers they're accustomed to, but paying a fraction of the cost.
Hmm.
So what we're doing is we're allowing people to determine as an owner what benefits they truly want to give to their employees versus some insurance carrier or agent coming in and just saying, here's a spreadsheet, pick one.
Great. Actually, and that is the main topic today, is who should be in that conversation when you, as an owner of a business, who should be helping you make the decision about healthcare for, you know, yourself as the owner, your employees. You know, I know this is hugely important to you, Tom. So let's start there. Now, why is it so important to have the right people in the room when talking about buying health benefits, and have that person not just be, you know, just the agent? Who's really important in this situation in today's decision making?
Well, it goes back to college. When you were in college and sitting in a business course, if you actually listened to the teacher, they taught you about a balance sheet. You have assets, you have liabilities, and you want to control your liabilities because that creates more assets. The problem has been with health insurance for years is they've allowed health insurance wasn't a top 10 expense 20 years ago. It has become a top, in some cases, 3 expense for companies. And the problem is the owners need to be involved in every aspect of their business when it comes to their balance sheet and the top 3 expenses. And what they've done is they've allowed people within their company, other than themselves, to make the decision. And it's becoming a major, major headache for not only the owner, but for the employees, because the decisions being made with this new tax law called the Affordable Care Act are some of the worst decisions I've seen in last 20 years in this business.
So you touched upon a little bit there, saying that the owners need to be more involved. So in your experience, who typically is making the decisions on the company's health benefits before you step in if it's not the owners?
A lot of times they allow their controllers or their HR departments to make the decisions on their health insurance. And the problem with that is it's not the most productive use of their time because, quite frankly, they can't make the decision now with the new tax law because it should be a decision that's made by their CPAs and tax attorneys and the owners of these companies because there's so many things that are directly related to the employees if they set it up wrong, really hurting the employees by setting it up the traditional ways that they are all setting them up. So the business owner needs to absolutely be in the room along with a CPA or tax attorney or both, and they need to come to a conclusion about how aggressive or conservative they want to be with the new tax law, period. That's it.
Yeah, because so insurance today isn't just, you know, taxes are even more. I mean, taxes have always been there. You know, the concerns about pre-tax, post-tax, how this benefit can help you here, how it can hurt you there, that's always been a thing. But in today with the Affordable Care Act, it's more important because we have this, you know, huge, basically, tax code that they have to know. And you can't have your HR person who doesn't know those tax codes be involved solely. Now, one person I didn't hear you say in there is actually the agent. So I heard, you know, you said that the decision is usually made by the HR. So if the owner's not involved at all, but how does the agent play into that?
The agent sells a product. That's it.
That's it.
The accountant should be telling them what product they need to put in, or a consultant, that's what we do, and they either do what they say or they get replaced.
Okay. All right. So
now to be fair with to be fair with the HR department, they're not trained to make these decisions because they're when they went to college, a lot of them went for HR. Well, other folks went to college to be CPAs. Well, this part, since it's a tax law, you get the CPAs involved because that's their bread and butter. If you have HIPAA issues or employee issues or firing or hiring, you don't have the CPA, you have the HR department. They have to why the HR department was ever handed the benefits is beyond me. No, it's just not part of their job duty.
There is this this definition of what roles they should be doing. So for the HR, their role shouldn't be this decision maker anymore. You're saying that it should just be the administration of that?
Should be the owner.
Whatever they're given?
Mm-hmm. Should be the owner, the president, the CEO, and the board in some companies, or the along with a tax attorney.
That's making
the decision. Potentially an ERISA attorney, yeah, and a CPA. Yeah, those are the ones who should be involved for the company's well-being. A controller or CFO should be in the number crunching process. The HR should be in the how do we implement this in a seamless fashion for the employees, and that's it. No more. That's what does an insurance agent do? They sell a product. Do they sign your tax return?
Nope.
Do they increase your rates every year?
Well, not them.
Well, who brings the news?
The news.
So when your agent came to you and said, hey, you can reduce your costs by 50% and improve the benefits for the employees, what did you say?
When the agent came and said that?
Yeah.
An agent doesn't say that.
Well, there's the problem.
Let's talk about this then. So if you know, this is them coming in and handing, you know, hand over fist, these increased rates. They're just giving you this product. Why do you think most owners aren't currently making these decisions at companies all over the country, and they're leaving it to someone who isn't presenting them these new options and leaving it to HR? Why do you think that reason is?
If you can figure that out and let me know, I can cut this country's health insurance costs by about $1 trillion a year and provide all the employees better benefits, lower out-of-pockets, lower costs, everything. I have no idea. I mean, that's a great question. I think they need to go back to a business 101 class. A lot of the owners do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that right now, when I, as an individual, purchase insurance and I go out, I just have this basically a list of plans I can choose from. I don't get the benefit of knowing that there's a certain way to purchase. So, is it more just an educational thing that it's not made aware? Like no one, it's not innate. Like everyone knows that you just go buy the product. You don't know that there's an alternate way of getting that same product in a different way that costs you less. So you think it's just they're just not educated, or in the traditional method is just beat in?
I think there's a problem in this country starting in high school or junior high. They should be teaching these kids about finance and insurance and things that they need to know, because you have people running around this country who don't understand that buying a $20 copay from an insurance carrier makes absolutely no sense. What they should be, you know, it'd be like buying oil change insurance or plumber's insurance for your home. The problem is they all are just making the worst decisions, and it's a third grade math problem. And it boils down to education. This country, quite frankly, is insurance unintelligent, not very bright, because they are making the worst decisions, you know, I've ever seen, especially with the new Affordable Care Act. They were doing it prior to, but this new law is a gift to small business owners. But they refuse to open the present. A lot of them refuse to even be involved.
Okay, well, explain that to me a little bit, because, you know, the Affordable Care Act, it's a big tax law. It's not you're not sitting in one, you know, in one sitting. You're not going to read the whole thing. So,
well, you don't have to. It's very simple. It's Section 2711 is really all it pertains to insurance. And then there's a section on the affordability. If you're a small business owner and you have employees that can receive tax breaks, but because you have an affordable health plan, they can't. Who are you hurting?
You're hurting the employees because they're not getting those benefits that they could be getting. Well, your own bottom dollar if you're paying more for that health insurance.
So why would you have an affordable health plan when you could have your employees receive tax breaks, but they, because the way you're structured, and you have no penalty as an employer, so you have people who could literally not only get reduced health insurance costs, but receive better benefits than what they currently are being offered, because you've already raised your deductible to $2,000 or $3,000. When you can lower your deductible, that a family could lower it to $500 or even lower because of the income levels associated with the new tax break, but because you have an affordable health plan, you're hurting them.
And so you're saying that you could just, by making it unaffordable, pushing them to the marketplace, they could potentially purchase a plan that just is overall better than the current one that they have for a lower cost because
absolutely
of these subsidies involved. Now that sounds like a very advanced way of using the tax law. So earlier you had mentioned that it's up to the owner and their tax attorney to make that decision as to how aggressive that they're going to go. But you know, that sounds like a very aggressive method. So can you elaborate as to, aggressive versus non-aggressive?
That's basic. That's like Woody Hayes, since I'm sitting in Cincinnati, Ohio. Everyone loves Ohio State. And Woody Hayes was a great football coach, and all he did was run the ball up the middle 100 times and win every football game, lose one or two here and there. But the bottom line here is this is basic. The government says that if your health plan is 9.5%, it's a little more this year, but let's just call it 9.5%. So if your salary, if you're asking the employees to pay more than 9.5%, then you have an unaffordable health plan, which means that not only does the employee but their family are eligible to receive tax breaks or subsidies to go onto the marketplace in their zip code or where they live and literally most of the time select the same insurance carrier if they choose. And they can go with whatever plan they want, and they get tax breaks to pay for the health insurance. Some of their children will qualify for free health insurance because of the way the law is structured, the expansion of Medicaid and the children's health insurance programs. So what you're doing, if you have an affordable health plan, and a lot of people around there bragging, oh, we have an affordable health plan. And I ask, my first question is, how many employees do you have? And they say 38. I go, well, why would you ever do that? Well, our agent said, well, yeah, there's the first problem. The second problem is you don't have your CPA or tax attorney involved. So why would you have an affordable health plan when your employees are eligible for tax breaks? So you have right now, let's say their premium is $1,500 a month, $18,000 a year, and because they're making $50,000 a year and they have a family of four, they literally now can lower their premium down to, let's say, $100 a month, and their deductible goes from $2,000 to $500.
All right, so two questions about that. Number one.
Sure.
When you talk about making the plan unaffordable and being above this percentage, you're not saying that they have to change their group plan. You're just saying that their contribution level has to be higher, so that way it's above that 9.5%?
Yeah, it's based on the employee. This is how silly the law is. It was supposed to be based on the family, but they quickly discovered they couldn't keep track of that. So what they did is they said, okay, it's based on the employee. So you choose your employee rate. So most companies are having the employees pay 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So they have for their family. So if you have a $1,500 premium, they're charging that employee $750. But for their dependents, but a lot of times the employee, they're charging, they may pick up 100% of the employee's cost and they pay, half for the dependents. Well, the employee's, let's say, paying $750, but because of the way they have it in their handbook and they have what's deemed an affordable health plan. So why wouldn't you change the verbiage to, if you have a family coverage, you pay the first $750 as an employee? By doing that, you have made your health insurance unaffordable, and you now allow them to qualify for tax breaks. It's that simple. It's that simple. What would it take? 2 seconds?
Yeah.
Because, so the employee now, because they're asked to pay for their coverage, the first $750, do not qualify. It's above 9.5% of their salary, which, but under the law, they should have been eligible, but because they put that in at the last second, saying this is how we're going to manage it, they hurt a lot of families. Well, the intention is to help people lower their health insurance costs and improve the benefits of their plan.
Well,
why would you ever make your health plan affordable? And then it becomes a math problem next year, but for this year it's under 100, but for next year it's over under 50. That works all the time. Over 50, it becomes a math problem. Do you, by making your plan unaffordable, is it, are you better off paying the fine versus paying
the
insurance
premium?
That's the
employer mandate.
Right.
The employer mandate,
so,
right? Yeah.
So if you're paying $1,500 and you took $3,000 and you divided it because you pay it monthly, that's $250. If you lower the premium to $100 for them, that's a total of $350. If I'm the owner of the company, again, third grade math, if I'm paying $750 and now I could pay $250 and it's after tax, so add 15% on that, $250 times 1.15, $287.50 or $750. What would you choose, Chris?
I choose the $287.
Right. So my question to all business owners is, regardless of your size, it's a math problem. Now, if it's more than what you're currently paying, you simply make your plan affordable just like you are now. If not, you make it unaffordable. That's how simple this law is.
So if you're keeping it affordable, let's say that math doesn't work out in the favor of them to eat up the fine. What are they doing? They're not stuck in the mud. You know, there's alternate methods of buying it even still using our
solution.
There's
all kinds. Oh, there's, yeah, you can take your group health plan and you can increase the deductible to the worst plan the insurance company sells and then deliver the same benefits.
Co-insurance, kind of same thing.
And then, underneath deliver the same benefits that you're currently offering.
And how do you do that, though, if you're already making them on the worst plan?
Well, because
how do you get them
you're buying the insurance, okay? So you're buying a catastrophic health plan, and all health plans with the new law have to meet the essential benefits. So they do. So then what you do, it also covers the preventative with no limits. So what you can do is you can have what's called a limited medical expense reimbursement plan, because since the essential benefits are met with no limits, you can have limits on a HRA or a medical expense reimbursement plan. And what you do is you simply design your medical expense reimbursement plan to reflect your old plan, and instead of paying the insurance company, let's say, $20,000 a month for your employees, you now pay $12,000. You take that $8,000, keep that in your own account, and you pay for claims that are between what their current plan is and what the higher deductible is. And if you do the math there, you quickly realize even if we have a bad year, we still save money.
Yeah, well, you're not prepaying for your services anymore. You're paying as you go. So if there's no claims that month, that medical expense reimbursement plan isn't being hit. That's all savings.
That's correct.
And then you get the stop loss with the major medical. Makes sense.
Right.
Okay. Well,
so
back to the
if I'm a large company,
though. Yeah.
I'm a large company, why would I ever be traditionally self-insured taking on more than a $6,000 risk? Because the new law forces the hands of the insurance carriers. So traditional self-funding makes absolutely zero sense too.
Traditional self-funding? Gotcha. Well, you know, that being said, I mean, there are some differences in that, whether you're going individual or you're going a high deductible plan. How are the quality of these individual plans in the marketplace? Are they mirroring? I know that there's been a lot of changes where networks are supposed to match, but, you know, just because you can go to the same doctor in a lot of cases doesn't mean that all the same services are covered. So are plans matching up, or are they for the individual versus the group? Are they getting better, worse? What's that look like?
All plans since January 1st of 2014 that are being sold must meet the requirements of the new law, meaning the essential benefits must be covered with no limits, and preventative must be on all plans where you have no cost sharing. So it's the insurance carriers are paying for it. So there is very little difference. There's some networks. So you need to make sure your doctors and hospitals are on the plan that you decide. And there's a variety of choices that have expanded in the second year of this law.
Okay. Well, you know, so it sounds like you're still just going to be conscious of what you're doing. It's not just you go pick a plan because it looks good. You still got to do the research into it. Now, I mean, that's, you know, we went over a lot here. What is it that ClaimLinks does when it meets a client then who's buying traditionally with all these options out there? You know, who's to know how to sort that out?
We navigate people through the icebergs that have been created through the insurance industry over the last 30, 40 years so that they are making informed and wise buying decisions. So when they do buy the insurance products, they're paying for it for a fraction of the cost, but providing the benefits to the employees that are equal or better, usually better in most cases, than what they're offering currently.
Mm-hmm. Well, but they're not taking all this stuff onto themselves. You know, when you're talking about self-funding, most people think, oh, well, now I'm self-funding, so there's all that, you know, you have accounts payable that you got to create all these accounts for. You got to do all that work. ClaimLinks is a third-party administrator, too, so all that stuff isn't necessarily, now you're not under this administrative nightmare. I mean, it's more work, but you get the benefits of having an expert and then the support. So what does that typically look like? You know, how does it that, you know, they're not going to know how to match their plans exactly. What is it that ClaimLinks does in order to make these things match?
Well, what we do is we make sure that they're following all laws applicable to, you know, with what's called a plan document. And what we're doing is we're taking their old plan, and we're matching it so that they're, if they go to the doctor, they pay the same copay. If they go to the into the hospital, they pay the same amount out of pocket. The only difference is they're going to show two cards versus one. So the insurance carrier, the insurance providers bill us as secondary, and they bill the primary insurance the same way they've always had. Nothing changes there. The difference is the product that is bought is not going to be the same product that they have been buying. They're going to buy, again, the worst possible health plan the insurance company will offer, which is, if it makes sense in terms of pricing. And what they do and what we do is we deliver the benefits that keep the employees happy, the copays, everything that they think is a problem with health insurance. We manage their needs and we navigate them through the process. They can call us and we answer their questions. We call their providers and we make sure that everybody is on the right page. We also
The providers are notified of a secondary insurance too. Because I know if I walked into my, you know, here in Dorchester in Boston, if I walked into one of the nearby clinics on my street and I walked in and showed them ClaimLinks, you know, let's say I was going there regularly, they're not going to know what to do. They'll know Harvard Pilgrim, you know, who I currently have, but they're not going to know ClaimLinks. So.
Well, that is an education process. Generally, we get them to fill out who their doctors are so that we can notify them and let them know that, hey, this is a program that is now implemented for one of your patients, and generally we have very little problems. The problem with health insurance, I'll be candid, is the way people are buying it, for one, and the second thing is the way that the insurance agents refuse to change from the old way of doing things.
Gotcha. So that's when we're back to the fact you need, it's not just your agent you should be going to. You shouldn't be letting HR handle it. You need that tax person there who's going to understand how this is going to work, let you help figure out whether or not your company can go aggressive on that. That's that individual route or that, you know, with the help of ClaimLinks helping that.
That's correct. Well, it sounds like our time is numbered here today.
Yeah, that does wrap it up.
I'd like to thank everybody for listening to our program, and we'll be having many more of these half-hour sessions in the near future.
Yep.
Thanks.
Make sure that you all follow us on follow our podcast in the future. You can actually follow us on Twitter as well and get updates on our next show. So make sure you find us on there. Thank you all again, and we'll see you next podcast.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye.